哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿，哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿。
Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
Ay ya hey ya hey ya hey.
My name is Frances Wright, and I was born in Council, 1918, but I was raised in Solomon. I'm 94 now. Yeah. When they ask me, how old are you? I always say, 49. Before I was a year old, my folks took us down to Solomon. When I came to, I was just starting to walk. You know, as a little baby, I was holding on to Papa's suspender when he was kneeling on the ground on his hands and knees, and he called Mom. He said, Mom, Panigang is walking. Panigang means my daughter. And I looked over towards where Mama was. I saw my mom bending over picking salmon berries. When I first started walking, then I didn't know anymore, just like I came to for a little while. When I came to again, just like I came to for a little while, Mama was washing diapers up Solomon River. I was around 3 years old then, and my year-old sister. We were by the river. Mom was getting a couple of buckets of water, and then before she went up, she said, Panigang, don't go in that water. You're going to float away. All I was wearing was a dress. Didn't have no shoes or socks on, just standing there by that river, summertime. And I looked up towards where Mama was washing diapers outside of the tent. She was washing diapers, and I looked at that water, and I thought, she's not watching me. I can go in the water. So I start walking down. That water was so pretty. I walked down, and all of a sudden, I was in the water. Your Mama ran down, put me in the water, pulled me back up, in the water, back up again. I felt one slap. I don't know how many times she spanked me. Then I didn't know nothing for a while again. Just like I woke up, Papa was at home in the tent and he was holding me. He was saying, my daughter, Panigang, did Mama spank you real hard? I said, yeah, and I started crying like a 3 years old. Then I didn't know nothing again for a while. We were down the coast, just like I came to for a little while, when Mama said, Panigang, go get some ptarmigan. We had ptarmigan snares put in the willows. I was 5 years old then. She said, Panigang, go get some ptarmigan. Papa's going to be hungry when he comes home. So I put my parkie on, put the pack sack, little sealskin pack sack, to carry your stuff in. Just like those pack sacks you guys got. We call those pack sacks sealskin, made of sealskin with one strap. Mama had made a sealskin pack sack for me. Anyhow, I went up in the willows. There was one ptarmigan caught in a snare. So I went and took it off. I walked a little ways, there was another one. So I took that one off and I had four of them. I put those in my pack sack. And when I lifted it, it was getting too heavy. And I set those snares back the way Mama showed me how to set snares. We were taught real young when we were kids. Anyhow, I set the snares lift that backpack up, got it on my back and went home. When I went in the house, I took that backpack off and dumped them on the floor. And Mama said, "Is that all the ptarmigan you get?" I said, "Mama, those ptarmigan, they're getting heavy. But there's still some more up there in the willows. But they still bola." Bola means Eskimo dancing. Because they were still bouncing up and down. I said, "Those ptarmigan, they still bola." Then when that evening when Papa came home, Mama had ptarmigan soup all ready for him to eat. He had gotten a seal, and when she started cutting it up, after she cut it up, I was kneeling, watching her. She asked me, "Honey Young, what you want?" And I said, "I want the eye." "Okay," so she went and cut the eye, and they're just like a little marble inside the eye. She took that out and put it in my mouth. That was good. After I walked away for a while, and then I went back when she opened that seal, gonna cut it up, and I kneeled down again. Mama said, "What do you want?" "I like to have some liver." So she cut a piece of liver and put it in my mouth. I chewed that. That was it. I was satisfied. We never had birthday parties, no presents. They just say happy birthday. When I got older, especially on Christmas, that storekeeper in Solomon, Pete Kern, he used to invite everybody for dinner, Christmas dinner. That's when we eat big. We eat lots then, turkey. And we could eat all the oranges we want to eat. That storekeeper put two baskets, basket of orange, basket of apple, and a whole bunch of us kids around him. When one of the kids finished that apple or orange, he'd ask, "What do you want, apple or orange?" And we asked what we wanted, so he'd give us. We'd just stay there and eat until we get full of apple and oranges. When we get all done, those two baskets almost empty, we'd go sit down somewhere. After we have our dinner, after we eat those, when we get all done having apple and orange, we're all ready to go home. Then all of us kids line up in front of the counter, the storekeeper's on the other side, and each one of us get a bag of candy, hard candy. Each one of us kids on our way out the door. That have to last all winter. We didn't have nothing else, no candy, no apples, orange, rest of the year until next Christmas because we didn't have no money to buy it. Papa worked summertime for our food. That's my Eskimo Papa. He was working at Quigley's gold mine at Solomon River. He was working up there from 1920. No, I forgot when they had that diphtheria serum. Just those that brought in the serum, like Sapala and them guys, 1925. And we came to Nome to get our shots, 1925 or 27. I think that's when it was. I was 7 years old, 1925. I remember, and that's when we got our shots for diphtheria in the butt, when that serum came here. I was 7 years old, I remember, because when we went to church, we went to Methodist Church, Good Friday, after we got our shots. And I was holding on to Papa's arm, and I always sit by him whenever we go somewhere. I was his pet. My sister was on the other side, my mama. Anyhow, I felt him go, he started to go like that. And just like I blacked out for a while. I didn't know what was going on. Just like when I woke up, we were in a house, in somebody's house. And here was Papa. That was on a Saturday night. He didn't want to stay in the hospital. Here was Papa laying on his bed, and Papa asked Mama, "Mom, when I die, I want you to marry my daughter's real dad." And I said, "Papa, you're my papa." And he said, "No, that white man over there, that's your papa." I looked at that white man. I said, "Eee." I went like that, "Eee," and turned away. I didn't like that man. Then just like I blacked out for a while, he had died the next day on Easter Sunday. After we had his memorial service, but I don't remember that part of it, but Mama told us. And after his funeral, maybe it was the next Sunday, we were going to church, and I grabbed Mama. I said, "Mama, don't go in there." We were outside. I told her, "Don't go in there." And Mama said, "Bunnya, what's the matter? That house took our Papa away from us." I don't know why I said that. Maybe because they carried him out of there in a box. I don't remember nothing how we got to Solomon, but here we were in Solomon. Mom was helping me hooking 5 dogs up. It was winter time. Maybe it was springtime. I don't know. Anyhow, there was snow. My mama said, "Bunny Gang, you have to learn to haul wood. Your dad, you have to listen to your dad. That's your real dad." So I went looking for wood on the beach. I couldn't find no wood. So I went home. When I got home, Mama came out from the house, and I told her, "I can't find wood." So she hooked up 2 more dogs and took me back. And she pointed out on the snow, you see that little stick sticking out? Shovel right there. So I did. I found wood. I used a big old saw to cut that wood out. I got wood. After that, I know what to do, because my dad said I have to. From the time I was 9 years old, I was getting wood, hauling wood, and get water from the river. And then I got to be 12 years old. We had moved to Topcock. We were living there, just us, just one family living there. All we were eating was beans. Beans for breakfast, beans for lunch, beans for supper. Nothing else. We ran out of salt. Mama had no more coffee, and Mama said she should go and sit ptarmigan snares. And my dad said, "You stay right here, we got beans." So we just stayed there. We ran out of salt, no more coffee for Mama. I was outdoor cutting wood, and Mama said, "Bunny Gang, go with me. Take your tuk, your ice pick. Take your tuk and go with me." So here she had a long rope and a lard bucket, a bucket where we had lard. She had that in her hand and that long rope. So I went and got a tuk, followed Mama down on the ice down to the point. When we got down to that point, Mama said, "We gotta try and get some salt water, because the dogs didn't want to eat beans no more. We gotta put salt water, and the beans are starting to taste flat, no salt in them." So I used a tuk on that crack, made a hole, just big enough for that bucket to go through. It let it sink all the way down to the bottom, and she would go like this. And she brought it up real fast, tasted. She said, "It's a little bit salty." She said, take this bucket and put half a cup of that salt water into those pots that are boiling, our dog pot and for our bean pot. They were sitting on the stove when we left. My sister was taking care of the stove, keeping the place warm. My dad just lay in there reading. I remember what he reads, Ranch Romance. I don't know where he get it from. Anyhow, when I was leaving, where we were getting that salt water, she went like this under her parka. She pulled out fish hook, tomcod hook. She said she's going to see if she can get some tomcods. So she started fishing. I went home. Before I left, she told me, she called me. She said, when you see me walking up, you come down, meet me. She was fishing. I went up. I went back up there. I did what she told me to do. Put water in the two pots. Went back outside and started cutting wood again. While I was cutting wood, I saw Mama. Mama started to walk up. So I ran down there, meet her. And here she had four little tomcods. She said her feet were getting cold. So she went home. She gave me that hook. You fish. When your feet get cold, come home. Okay. So I saw her go home. I stayed there. I look up towards the house. I saw my dad come out of the house. He was just let me bend over. I was wondering what, maybe he's picking up some chips to start the fire with. I thought to myself, that's funny. First time he ever did that. Pretty soon he disappeared. I just stayed there, fished, and I got three little tomcods, but my feet were getting cold. So I went home. When I got up the bank, I looked. There was my dad crossing the lagoon, started to climb up the hill, coming this way. I went in the house and I told Mama. I said, Mama, I got three more little tomcods. And she looked up at me, her face all bruised. My dad did that because she went tomcod fishing. So I didn't like my dad. When I saw my dad go up the hill going toward Solomon, my sisters were sitting on the bed, scared. And I asked my sister, I motioned my sister, what happened? My sister said, he went like this, doubled up her fists, went like this to Mama. She pretended to be waving from the house, clap her hands goodbye to my dad. He was gone. He had left. He never came back that spring. Anyhow, he was gone, and he went towards Solomon. Next day, it started snowing, blowing like anything, snowing and blowing. And we ate beans. That's all there was to eat. And when it calmed down, Mama said, Bunnygong, get your pack sack, go with me. We take a walk across the lagoon. Mama said to the girls, my two sisters, you kids don't fight, you stay in the house. You can see us when we climb up there on that mountain. So we were climbing that hill on the side of the lagoon. We would start to climb up that hill, and there's a telephone line and the trail, dog team trail, goes that way by those telephone lines. And when we started climbing, Mama said, look for ptarmigan. And I started looking around, looking both ways. I thought, I can't see no ptarmigan. I couldn't see no ptarmigan anywhere. When Mama told me to look for ptarmigan, and she was away from the trail, and she said, go on the other side of the trail. And then pretty soon I saw her bend over, go like that, ptarmigan. And I thought, oh, like that. Instead of looking around like this, oh, I gotta look down on the ground. That's when we started picking up ptarmigan. There was, during the storm, when the ptarmigan flew by that line, they bumped the line, and some of them no wings, no head. We pick them up, frozen ptarmigan. So we took those ptarmigan home. Boy, we had a party after we had cooked those ptarmigan. And we even save the feathers, mix them up with the beans for the dog pot. After that, Mama didn't have no coffee. She wanted coffee. And I don't know where she got that fox skin. Maybe she got it while us kids were sleeping. It was all dried, ready for sale. When we saw that mail carrier go by on the ice, there were stakes on that ice for dog team trail. Go, instead of going over the mountains, go on that ice toward Solomon. Anyhow, Mama said, "Bunny Gong, take this fox skin and go to Solomon. Hurry up, hook up your dogs." I had 7 dogs. "Hook up your dogs. Follow young Pete, that mail carrier." So I hooked up, try ahead and hurry up and hook up my dogs. I took off. I took that fox skin, put it in the sled bag. He always had a sled bag back right by the handlebars. I took off down around the point. I was going along real good. I couldn't see that mail carrier anymore. I'm going along, and all of a sudden my dogs turned toward the rocks when I was going around that cape, that cliff, the cliffs, you know, down Tapak. I was going around there. Deepest cliffs turned up towards there. So I'd keep telling them, "Ha, ha." I'd tell the dogs, "Go, ha." They wouldn't go, just like they got stronger. Then I said, "Okay, you guys want to go up there? We'll go up there." I left my foot off the brake. Just when they start jumping, crack, about that long, that wide, a good-sized crack. After my sled went over, I said, "Wow." The dogs turned real good right after they crossed that crack. They went real good, and we went along there for a while, then we turned to the beach, when I got to the beach. And we got to where there was an old man. He stayed there all year, all the time. When he ran out of food, he'd go to Solomon, where he'd have the mail carrier get his stuff for him. Anyhow, that mail carrier was just tying up his lead dog to rest his dogs, and that building was right there where that guy wanted to go in and have coffee. And I went right by his dogs, and I stopped. When I got to him, I said, "Hello, young Pete." He looked at me. "Hello, which way did you come?" I told him, I said, "I went around. I followed your trail." He said, "How come? Look at that ice." We looked out. Wow! That ice where him and I were traveling on was way out there already. All I said was, "Wow." I didn't care, 12 years old. So I went to Solomon. When I got to Solomon, I got what Mama wanted with that fox skin. I traded that fox skin for food, sugar and coffee, salt. Before I left, Mama said, "Bunny Gong, don't forget my tobacco." She used to smoke Bull Durham. So after I got all the stuff she wanted, I went and visit my grandpa and the kids I used to play around with. Then I thought, I better go back, go home before it gets dark. So I went back. I couldn't go around the front, so I had to go over the mountain. It was just starting to get dark when I got outside of the house. When Mama came out crying like anything, she grabbed me just real hard. She was hanging on to me. I said, "What's the matter, Mama? Are you hurting?" And she said, "No. I thought I lost you." She was so happy to see me. I guess she was so glad I was safe, me and young Pete. Almost went out on that ice, him and I. Of all our dogs saved our life. After that happened, long time after that, when we moved back to Solomon, I started coming across with those angels on earth. And I thought, the angels were leading my dogs. They were helping my dogs save our lives for some reason. When I was telling that story, my granddaughter, Sherry, she was standing right here. She said, "Grandma, I wouldn't be here." Yeah. I didn't go to school. I talked Eskimo all the time. I didn't go to school because I got to take care of the family. Me and another girl, her sisters and a brother and their mom. Their dad had died in White Mountain and their mom got sick right there in Solomon. She died there. But that girl had to take care of her younger sister and brother. Her name was Helen, Helen Matthews. When I was getting wood, she came by and she said, "So this is where you get your wood from?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "I didn't have a shovel. I didn't bring a shovel." I said, "You can use my shovel." So I helped her get wood. From then on, her and I, we back and forth go getting wood at the same time. When she see me going down that way with my dog team, she'd hook up her dogs, come along. Then from when we get kicked out from Tapkak, I was 14 when I went to White Mountain. We went to White Mountain, and from there we went to Gallup, and that's when I first went to work. I was 14 in a herring plant where they were packing herring. That's when I thought I made lots of money that fall. I made $47. That was lots of money. Gilling and packing herring. And that winter, that fall time, we went back up to White Mountain. That's when I went to school that fall. I was in the first grade, 14 years old. And after 3 months, they put me to second grade. And it was getting towards spring when Mama said, "We got to go back to Solomon. We got to go back to Tapkak." I hated to go. I wanted to stay until I got done with school. She went back to my dad. I don't know why my mama always go back to my dad. I never liked to go back, but she always go back after he kick us out. But that was my real dad. Mama said, "That's your dad. You got to do what he tells you." That's all the schooling I had, second grade. Never forget what I stole when I started to get older. I stole that when we were at Solomon. I must have been 15 or 16. I told Mama. I didn't tell her. I started hooking up the dogs when she asked me, "Where are you going?" I said, "I want to get some wood. We might run out of wood. It's starting to blow. It's starting to drift." And she said, "You're going to get lost." I said, "No, I'm just going to go up the rivers, get some willows." Anyhow, I took my saw, my axe, shovel. I went up the river. I was going up the river, and pretty soon I saw this dredge, old dredge, never been used for I don't know how long. I looked at that dredge. Ah, good. Anyhow, I went and that timber, big old timber that's sticking out that way, I cut it off. I cut one block off. And then I started to cut another block. They're big timbers, big ones. I never forget that. I just starting to finish that second block. And my dog went, "Oof." I looked, dog team right there. I said, "Oh no, I got caught." Anyhow, it was one of my cousins. He came up to me. He says, "So this is where you've been getting your good wood." And he said, "Too bad I didn't take a saw with me." I said, "Use my saw." Then after I got home, I start cutting those wood. They make real pretty sound, real dry, real good wood. And When we went to church on a Sunday, we go to church, and they said we're not supposed to steal. We'll be punished if we steal. I always think of that. This guy and I, we were going to get married when we were egg hunting down Bluff in a little tent with our baby. We were talking about getting married. And one day, my sister and our girlfriend, they came down. They walked down from Solomon to Bluff, and they disappeared. Anyhow, when they disappeared, I thought maybe them guys are down there in that boat picking eggs up there in that square rock. I wonder what's in that old house up there. I went up there and I opened the door. They were there already. And I closed the door real quiet. Nuh-uh, it's not gonna work. So I walked away. It didn't bother me. I walked to Solomon from there. We used to walk all the time, just like those people when they walk from Igloo. Go to White Mountain, start living there. I stayed in Solomon a long time after that. And one day, when I was 19, my sister-in-law's sister asked me, Fran, let's take a walk down the beach. Okay. I had a baby on my back. A can of milk in a cup, because there was a well down at Bonanza. If we get that far, I was going to make her some milk, baby some milk. Anyhow, we took a walk after we crossed the ferry down at Solomon. We walked, take a walk. We got past Bonanza Camp, and I asked her, I said, that's all, how far are we going? Oh, come on, just take a walk. Go, let's go farther. We walk. I never asked her after that. We got far as safety. Across from safety, there was a ferry there too. We were going to turn around and go back. Start to go down toward the beach from that ferry post. We were gonna go walk, and we saw the motorboat coming across, and Charlie Dock was the guy that was running that ferry. Called us, you girls want to cross? And Ethel went like, okay. So we went across. We got on that motorboat. He took us across. When we got across there, we kept on walking. We got as far as that safety roadhouse. We kept on going. We got to Cape Nome, and from Cape Nome, it started raining like anything, and pretty soon the car came along, and that person was checking the people along the way on the beach, those campers. There wasn't very many cars those days, and we got on that little car. We were sitting in a rumble, what they call a rumble seat, you know, in the back. They pull it out, and there's a seat right there. We rode on that, came to Nome, and that's when I found out there was pork chops and beef. We never had those before. When I was a kid, we never had beef, no pork. Once in a while, we have bacon, no ham, no other kind of vegetables. I found out there was canned vegetables then. That's when I started living in Nome, when I left home that time. I was 19, and I had that one baby. Yeah, that's when I grew up. That's when I found out there's different ways to eat, different stuff to eat. But I still like to eat what I used to eat, like tom cods, reindeer meat, ptarmigan, ducks, ugaluk meat, Eskimo food. I'm the only one left in the family now. My brothers, my sisters. When I was young, I thought, I'll never get married. I'll never have a man in my life. It's too hard to wash his overalls, wring them out and hang them up outdoors to dry. I had 9 girls and 2 boys. All I got left is, I got only 5 left. One drowned down Togiak. She was fishing. And Elsie died of cancer. So did my mom. My youngest son, they were having a party here. He got shot. He liked to go to parties. Anyhow, my oldest daughter, she had bad heart. She had a hole in her valve. They had put plastic on it. She didn't live, but she had 2 kids. Two of her kids. One is in Seward, one is in Anchorage. My first grandkids. Aretha, you know Aretha Banky. Denise, the mayor, that's my granddaughter. Granted, I can't even count them. There's so many all the way outside, way out to Oregon. My great-great-great-great-great-great-great. I got big family. It made me feel good. Got lots of grandkids scattered all over. I can't even count them. Katie, my daughter, when she asked me, "Has Michael called?" I said, "No, it's okay if they don't call. It'll make me feel older." On my birthday a couple of weeks ago. It's okay if they don't call. As long as they're good, as long as they're all right, as long as they're happy, I'm not worried. I'm here. Yep, that's it.
You've been listening to Elder Voices, a production of KNOM.